quack, 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 quack,
welcome back to D5 The Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we discuss the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3 The Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and we're bringing on my guest this week for the first time on this show. From Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Minute and Tales from the Short Box, Adam Sheehan. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get to talk about D2 because that movie's my jam.
Yeah, I will say it is my favorite of the trilogy, so I can't argue that point.
My favorite movie, I think, ever. It's at least my favorite sequel ever made.
I can agree with that. Down. Well, that goes with my first question, because this is your first time on this show. Are you a fan of the Ducks trilogy, of these movies, any of them involved? What's your history with these franchises?
The first two movies were huge. I played Pee Wee hockey up until I was like, I don't know, maybe like 11 or 12.
Okay.
So like, It that always struck a chord with me around that age group, but I never saw the third one until yesterday.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. No, it's funny. Everybody keeps saying that. Don't feel bad. Said that this season, like, oh, the first time I'm seeing it is because you invited me on this show. Well,
here's the thing. I remember like purposefully not going to see it because I had heard from someone who had seen it that they lose the game in the end. And I'm like,
what?
Why would I want to see the Ducks lose? That sounds stupid. And I remember getting angry about it. And I held on to this anger for so long. And what? I sat down, like, as of yesterday, I was watching this movie. I was like, I guess I have to sit and watch the Ducks lose. And then they didn't. And I was like, dude, I could have had this movie so many years ago.
Yeah, I started in the movie theaters with my dad. I was one of those people. So I started in theaters. Yeah, people, movie theaters. I think in the past.
Yeah, remember those?
Funny part is, it doesn't go up until the summertime, and I still don't think movie theaters will be a thing yet.
it's devastating. I used to work in movie theaters. I used to be a projectionist, so like seeing all these theaters shut down is heartbreaking. Just absolutely heartbreaking.
Well, I feel you there. I'm hoping by the time people hear this, something is going on, hopefully.
Yeah.
But what's actually getting to this? So it's the first time you're seeing this movie. What do you think of the movie? Now that you've seen it and the ending was not spoiled for you, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's something about a reverse spoiler. Like, I used to do this thing when I would go to wrestling shows. If I was going to one that was live, I would text fake spoilers to my friends. Because, like, you go in like, oh, man, this guy's going to lose. And then he wins. And you're like, wait a minute, what? And it makes it that much better.
Actually, so, my favorite thing that I've ever read in a fake spoiler. I think it was a match on SmackDown. It was, like, Mark Henry versus Rey Mysterio, and Rey was champion. And somebody put out a spoiler saying that Mark, because they had the live band for his entrance for SmackDown. They had the live band and everything for Mark Henry's entrance. And somebody said Mark Henry won the belt, and he was celebrating with the band on stage. And then I watched SmackDown, like, none of that happened. Like, none of that happened.
I love that stuff because, like, I hope this gets out like into the world. But I, you know,
yeah, that's one of the funnier non spoilers I've ever read. Like, Phil Spoilers ever read in my life.
Yeah, like, you know, going through my whole life thinking the Ducks lost at D3 is kind of it's a disappointing life I've lived over this last 20 some years.
That's so weird to me. Like, I just can't get over that. But anyway, what do you think of the movie now that you know, not at the ending with the spoil?
Well, there's things I really liked about it. Like, I went to a school that was kind of like this. My high school was sort of like this. We even had a hockey team.
Wow, you're fitting in everything in this franchise. Jeez, you're just everywhere.
Like, this could have been like a wheelhouse movie for me, and it just wasn't. But the only thing my big takeaway was I really, really hate Charlie in this movie. Like,
okay,
I just,
you're not the only one. You're not the
I
only one.
Hate him so much. Like, from the first time we see him in this movie, he's like, why don't you just not take that dream opportunity and keep coaching us? He's like, what do you think this is? Like, you need to grow up, Charlie. Like, come on.
The real world.
Aside from that, it's good to see like Kenan Thompson at that age in a movie is just a spectacular thing to watch. Goldberg is always the best. Like, it's not a bad movie. I always thought this was a bad movie, but you know,
yeah.
Although the chase sequence in the beginning, sorry, I keep like freaking you out here.
You're fine.
The chase sequence in the beginning threw me though. I was like, what am I? There were moments where I was like, what am I watching? Like, what is going on my screen right now?
Yeah, that was a fun conversation to have back that happened back in the movie. That was a weird conversation to have.
It just sucks seeing it in my 30s because I feel like if I'd seen this when I was in third grade, I would have loved it. Like, third grade me would have this would have been a great movie, but alas.
Yeah, 96 for me was, actually freshman year of high school. So,
oh wait, 96? Why did I have in my head 93? No, I would have been in sixth grade.
Yeah, this is ninth grade for me. So this is actually perfect for me. This is right, perfect. This is perfect. We're the same age. I'm the same age as the characters.
It also came out like the year I stopped playing hockey. Other side of that too. So mm-hmm.
It happens. It does happen. Well, let's get into our minutes, because the last time we left you, last time I left, where we actually had them going to work, finally going to work.
One of those time. W words.
Yeah, back to the W's. Back to the word beginning the W. This one's work, and we're actually going to do it. And I must say, and I said this all movie, I love Coach Orion.
He's great.
I love Coach Orion. Like,
he's a good coach. You know, like, he's a good coach.
Yeah, like I remember as a kid hating his character so much, but now as I'm watching this as an adult, he's like the best character in this movie. Close. Oh my gosh.
I like how Bombay has to show Charlie that this guy isn't a jackass. It's like he was never a jackass. Like, he was never that bad that he had to be shown, like, you know, his daughter has a disability and you shouldn't hate him so much. It's like, yeah. He wasn't really being that big of a dick. I mean, as an adult, as you know,
as a kid, 14-year-old, where it's like, oh, he's being such an ass. But now it's like he's being a great coach and an adult. He's being an adult in a movie.
in a franchise that often lacks adults or good adult role models, like. Bombay in the first one wasn't that great of a role model until
either the second movie either.
Well, yeah, and then the second movie he just like sold out on them. So yeah, like here's a guy who's not just going to give up on these kids.
And the only thing about the Charlie storyline, at least it was on Charlie being his age. Like, that's the important part about the Charlie storyline. Like, at least he was being his age, and we were able to follow him grow up. That's the good thing about the story, you know. But. Well, here we are. We have our movie. Every single movie has to have one. We have our training montage. We have some kind of a weird training montage. And it starts normal, with normal, like, drills and all the normal stuff, which is fine. And I like the fact that he brings up the terminology blue-collar hockey, which is something you don't hear very often anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I really do appreciate that terminology. But I do like the fact we didn't do old-school drills for, like, the first, like, 30 seconds of this. Like,
the ice is so snowy in this movie. It makes me wonder if this was synthetic ice. I mean, it had to be synthetic ice, right? Like,
I know the Blake game, the game against Blake, the team, that was actually on a real ice surface. That was actually done at the school that they were playing. So that was interesting, but I'm not sure about this part. You know.
Yeah.
But again, back to actual coaching. But you have to have some kind of shenanigans. You have to have something. You can't just have a normal like training sequence. We throw trash on the ice. Which might, looking back, this, now I'm a housekeeper at a hospital.
Yeah, that's gotta make
me crazy now. Looking at it as an adult, it's driving me nuts.
Also, like he disciplined them because they were doing that drill with the lasso. And he's like, no, that's bull crap. We're not going to horse around in this hockey rink. And then just dumps the trash all over the rink.
Yeah, it is funny how suddenly he's the good guy here. So now he gets to goof around. Like, yeah.
There's just no rules in this movie, it seems.
No, there's not. But we have, but I do appreciate, I just paused it on the Averman holding up a bagel. Have to make a joke. We had to get a joke in here somewhere. The punchlines, you either call me Averman or Russ this entire movie. Like, both of them have gotten all the lines. So.
I do love Averman. Like, this actor's great, but he doesn't really do much after this, does he?
No, he really doesn't. Matt Darden, who actually was on the show first season. I interviewed him after the first season.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a good interview. I actually talked to him for about a good half hour after the first season. And he's a really nice guy. I tried to get him on this season. He just wasn't in the mood with the pandemic to come on this show this season. But I emailed him and we talked for a little bit, but he just wasn't in the mood, which I completely understand. Mental health is more important than doing a podcast, to be completely honest. Yeah. But no, he didn't do a whole lot after this movie. I'm going to double check. But yeah, Matt Daugherty, he's such a good guy, though. Like,
I feel like he was in a found footage horror movie, like, a few years back, or I'm mixing him up with someone else.
Oh, I just, funny part is I put Matt Daugherty into Google and I got a football player and a basketball player. I have to go to Wikipedia. That is not the person we're looking for. I like the person we're looking for. But I do like this whole, I'm looking this up. I do like this whole drill. Like, I really do appreciate this drill because they're actually, you know, learning hockey skills here. Like, they're actually learning defense.
Yeah, but I feel like this drill would have been just as easy to do with a whole bunch of pucks. I don't think he needed to dump the garbage all over the place.
Valid point.
It's going to mess up the Zamboni and everything.
And let them do their job, and they clean it up afterwards. You know, clean up properly later. I'm looking it up here, by the way. This is the last, like, leading role he had. Right here, like, lead, like, massive role he had. He was in the movie Ghost World.
I remember Ghost World.
He was the Masterpiece Video employee.
Of course.
I don't know what that means.
That's actually great. That's a great...
He had an uncredited role in Argo. And he was also... The last movie he was in was Hollows Grove. In 2014.
I think that was the found footage film.
Yeah, that was the last movie he was in, and then... The last thing he did on TV was Rosewood back in 2017. So, and other than that, he was just a bunch of almost everything he did on TV is like one episode on CSI Miami, one episode on Grey's Anatomy.
Is it almost 30 years later now? There's got to still be even massive residuals on this movie.
Oh, right? I guarantee it. Like, absolutely. This, and now with the Disney Plus series and all, by the time people hear this, the Disney Plus series will be on.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Ducks are still a thing. Like, they're still a thing.
I'm going to buy an Averman jersey after this.
Just because you want to. So everyone always gets the Conway jersey. You get the Averman one.
You only ever see, like, Conway or Goldberg.
Yeah, I always see there is someone at the Milwaukee Admirals games I go to that owns a Conway jersey. I see him almost every game I go to. Every single game. And he's probably the same guy.
Yeah.
Every game I go to. But yeah, I notice it every single time. Somebody's wearing a, especially doing this for the last 3 years, I notice it more. Like, I'm noticing it more now. But, I do enjoy this, but I love how the coach is into it. He's so into this now. Go right into this. Like, he's been waiting his whole movie to do this drill. Is that what's been going on?
He just wanted to trash the place.
Or maybe he's so pissed at the administration that now he's just making more work for the people.
He's just gone rogue. He's like, yeah, good luck finding another great coach.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of understand the shooting the garbage on the ice thing. Why are we now doing, like, litter pickup while doing skating drills on major ground?
Because it's a movie that was made in the 1990s, geared towards a young demographic. Every single one of those has some sort of environmental message tucked into it somewhere.
Fair enough.
every single movie I've watched like deeply like this, I've seen it. All the Turtles movies have recycling bits. Oh,
that's a good point. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, there's just, if you look for, if you start to look for it, you'll start to see it. There was just like this massive push of just this stuff in any kind of media.
Especially so, yeah, that was the era of Captain Planet. So mm-hmm. And people sitting that are younger than us have no idea what we're talking about with Captain Planet. I have no idea what that is. But
yeah, there was a huge push for this stuff all throughout Hollywood, where they're like, you know, they would just put, a lot of it was just like subtle hints, like a character would have a recyclable bag or something, but sometimes it was something really ham-fisted like this.
Yeah, it works though. It works for what it is. That was just really random that they're picking up trash. That's going skating drills. Yeah. On the ice, I understood it. You know, like. I don't know. That was weird to me. So we come back, and I love the fact that they're still doing this drill. It's like later on, it's another day, a completely different day, and they're still doing the same drill.
Yeah, like, do they dump out the trash every day?
Well, I think the trash they picked up, they didn't dump on the ice.
Oh, like they went to get more trash so they could do this drill.
That actually makes sense.
That's what it is.
That actually makes more sense.
I'll take my tinfoil hat about environmental propaganda off for a moment.
It works both ways, though. It does work both ways because they're picking up litter and then reusing it for practice.
There you go. They're just going to dump it right back in the streets after practice.
But it all ties together perfectly. Yeah. So, Coach Orion, like I said, great coach because he wants to get their attention, so he raises his voice like a parrot. Because he knows he's going to get their attention because he knows they hate that voice. It's like when I raise my voice to my son, he knows he'll stop what he's doing because he doesn't like hearing me yell. It's the same mentality.
That's psychology.
Well, ironically, my son's only like 2 years younger than the kids in this movie. So,
oh, there you go.
That's weird. That makes me feel really old, by the way, when I say that out loud. But he goes and says the line, "Your guys are not skating like warriors." I said, I started in movie theaters. And we had a pretty good crowd for a Ducks movie in the middle of a weekend. You know, it was a pretty good crowd. And I remember the whole theater was like, huh? What's going on? It's so obvious now what the hell they're doing. It is so obvious. It's the best. Yeah,
I like the trope of the adult acting all hard and tough when he's about to give someone a present. It's like, come on, man.
And I love Charlie's reaction to, oh, the Duck jerseys are back. He took that away from us, and now it's back.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie doesn't really sacrifice anything in this movie. Like, by the end, he still gets to play it with the Ducks, which was just like, so what if you don't get to be the Ducks, right?
Right.
And then still gets to be captain of the team after all this.
And he gets the girl.
Yeah, he gets everything he wants.
You know? And he gets a better relationship with Coach Bombay on top of it all.
Yeah, I guess.
Sure, why not? Okay, I have a simple question here. Okay, I get everyone else being excited because he took their jerseys away and they're getting their jerseys back. Charlie and Fulton still have their jerseys from earlier. Why are they so excited? It's not like they're getting their jerseys back because they're home. Their jerseys are at home.
Well, they get to play with these jerseys. But what's interesting is like they get their jerseys back and then it cuts to them doing more drills in the Warriors uniforms.
Well, I think this is their practice uniforms. I think the Warrior uniforms are their practice uniforms and the game jerseys are the Duck jerseys.
Gotcha.
It's sort of like if in the D2, they had game jerseys and then they had practice uniforms.
Right, right.
So like it makes sense. That's actually how most teams do it. I went to an Admirals preseason game. It was one of those things. I opened up one preseason game to the fans every year so we can go see it. But it wasn't on normal ice. It was like a different ice surface. It was like $10 to get in. And they had completely different jerseys because technically it was their practice. So they had completely different jerseys than we would see on the ice for a normal game. So it was a unique setup. You know, so that might be a situation here. So that brings back the quack chant, which we'll get to later on.
Always love me a good quack chant.
I can't argue with the quack chant, especially
if you're in any crowd for any game or any event and you can't get a section to quack, you're doing it wrong. You can always get a crowd to quack.
I actually, I was, what would I watch? I think I was watching a Ducks game on television, because you know, nothing better to do sometimes at late night when you're off insomnia and you're watching an Ducks game at 10:30 at night on the East Coast. And I remember hearing a quack chat in the middle of a game. I'm like, well, they still do that. Nice. They're still doing that. Cool.
Same thing with USA. Like, you could get any crowd to chant USA.
For no reason sometimes, even at wrestling shows for no real apparent reason.
you only need to say it once. Just intercontinental USA, and then just the whole crowd within minutes is chanting.
It really is one of the best chants ever, because it takes over an arena. Even if you're on a wrestling show and it's two Canadian wrestlers in the ring, it makes absolutely no sense. Yeah. So that happens all the time. I hear that. I listen to audio the next day. Like, why are they chanting to USA, USA? But it's I remember with like Lance Storm versus like Chris Benoit, the crowd is chanting USA, USA. It made no sense. It made zero sense.
I mean, I'm sure there's some crowds where that wouldn't catch on too easy, but
yeah, I think in the States it would happen everywhere. It really would happen everywhere. Oh, so we get to the game. We're at the pregame. We're at the pregame. But apparently the pregame means like 3 minutes out of town. The fact there's only like 21 minutes left in this movie, they spent a whole lot of time doing the pregame stuff in this movie for this game. So I do like the fact, I do love our commentator. I've been commenting about him this entire movie, how awesome he is.
I love this kid. I want to be this kid. I want to go back and be a kid again so I could be this kid.
Yeah, he makes me love being like in this kind of a field, because I used to want to be that guy. I wanted to be the radio guy. I wanted to be that guy. And
I still do. I've been poking my friends to do esports. I was like, you have to let me do commentary. Like, ooh. I just don't know how to break into that world. Like, I don't know anything about that.
I went to school for it and I couldn't break into the world. Like, I went to school for broadcasting and I couldn't break into it.
No, I just meant esports. Like, I don't know anything about games, but like, yeah. I could talk over people playing games all day.
Fair enough.
So like, if you're an esports team and you need like a guy, I'll be your little boy with a microphone, like in this movie.
So Dave versus Goliath. So he's just combining metaphors now. Dave versus Goliath in a Titanic grudge match. Combining metaphors.
It's funny because it reads like it was written by a 12-year-old. Like,
exactly. It's so true. You're right. It's absolutely right.
It's great. Like, this is exactly what an 8-year-old radio announcer would do.
Okay, what the hell are you talking about, though? When you say the winner can truly say that he is the symbol of Eaton Hall. Technically, they're in the same school. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, I think the idea, it's not very clear from the movie, but I think the idea is that whoever wins the game, that gets to be the mascot of the school. Because if you go back to the beginning, there was the petition to change the school mascot.
Yes.
It was never brought up
until the end.
But isn't this game kind of to decide if they're going to be the Ducks or the Warriors? Like, that's what I got out of this.
I thought there was a stipulation. There is no stipulation. Huh. This whole game is basically the freshman senior game. That's pretty much all this freshman varsity game. The only stipulation was they threw out a crack right before our minutes saying, oh, you guys are going to pack up and leave if we beat you. That's not a stipulation. That's a threat. There's a difference, you know?
Well, I guess I just read that wrong.
Yeah, like, it never brought up until the very end.
I mean, they set up that plot, though. Like, that could have been the stipulation. It could have added so much more weight to it. Like,
I agree. You know, there's a lot of things that could have been added to this movie. It made a lot more sense.
Like, it's almost like it was already there, and then they kind of cut it out.
Yeah, and they forgot to bring it up again. God, it was there. Or they were running backwards, and they're trying to figure out a way to get his girl, I keep forgetting her name, getting her into the movie. And they're like, here's a way to get her into the movie but at the beginning. Yeah. And then we forgot about it because we wrote the ending first. You know? Yeah. Probably something that happened. You know? So, Charlie goes and says, this game is for Hans, which I love. I love this. I do. This is a great moment. And I remember in the theater being so happy this moment happened.
Watching this for the first time last night, there was that last scene with Hans. And I said out loud, I was like, oh, watch, they're gonna kill Hans. And then like the next scene was his funeral. I was like, you've got to be kidding, they killed Hans.
Well, the funny part is, we talked about this on the funeral episode. Hans wasn't even in the last movie. He wasn't even in the second movie.
Wasn't he, though? Wasn't he in the beginning or something?
Hans was in the second movie. Hans was not in this movie, in the second movie.
Weird.
His brother Jan. Hans was in Russia visiting his mother.
Oh, right.
Hang on 1 second. What's up? Already?
Mm-hmm. Already.
Already? Jeez.
Love you.
Love you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry. My son wanted to show me. We had a new puppy last week. And we got her a new stuffed dinosaur yesterday. And as a It wasn't supposed to break easily. It's already had the hole on its back.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a dog toy that doesn't.
We literally got it yesterday afternoon. Like yesterday from Amazon. Yesterday afternoon. Oh, there's two cuts. Okay, cool. I'm doing a show. Go. Get out of here. I love you. Go take your meds. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. Sorry about that. Like, we're doing a show. Get out of here. I think he forgets that I'm podcasting up here. I think he forgets sometimes. Because I do it every Thursday. I think he forgets. All right. Anyway, back to this. Yeah, the second movie, it was Jan's. And Hans was in Russia visiting his mother.
Hans and Jan's.
Not making that up at all.
also, there was that one scene with Hans, and like they're sitting in his living room. And then like the background of his living room is the pro shop. I'm like, does this guy live in a pro shop?
I think his apartment is on the other side of the pro shop. I think that was what we were setting up in this movie, but that was never brought up in the movie.
It's just so weird. It almost looked like they had the pro shop set and then Hans's apartment set, and then they just forgot that the one set was in the background of the other.
Or maybe the point is that he didn't want to go home and die at home, and he'd rather die where he loved the most.
He'd rather die at his skate sharpener.
That he loved so much. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that I was like, what are they doing here? What's happening?
I love the fact that he would sit and listen to the game on his old school radio.
Yeah. Because of course this is on the radio. Like what? Because I listen to high school hockey games on the radio.
Well, it's pretty pretty. It's one of those things where I know in my hometown, we had a TV station. But it was only available in the area you lived in. So I can believe it because, like, we used to do it. I was on my senior year. I was in GTV, which was the Garfield television station. And the town next door also had a station. And it was 19 and 20 on the cable dial because it was two local public access stations. And, like, I know, like, if Garfield and Lodi were our trials, they play each other. And it was in Lodi, the game would be on TV later on that night. So well, like,
like that's TV. Radio is a different thing altogether. Like we had a local station too.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I don't know. Maybe they're using the Bayside mentality of a TV, a radio station that for some reason is in the back of the high school.
Yeah, right. I mean, who knows? This school might have like a radio program. Like
maybe you're right.
They seem like one of those kind of college prep schools.
Exactly. So we continue on here, and I do like the explanation for those who don't understand what's going on with the Hans tribute, the Norwegian symbol of respect. I do like that a lot. Appreciate that. You know, for kids watching. Because, like, I remember watching this with my son the first time, and he didn't understand what was going on, and they explained it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that line is there for the kids. Which
the ice is still so snowy in this shot, though.
Yeah, it bothers you. It's bothering you.
Like to have a big important game about to start and have an inch of snow on the ice, like that's weird.
Gotcha. So we're talking about the random seriousness of this game, and the varsity coach yells out, "They don't belong on our ice. They don't belong in our school."
Yeah.
What? What? Like, get over that.
Tell us how you really feel, man. I mean, it's just kids who want to play hockey. It's not that serious.
It's not that serious.
I don't want my kid going to this school anyway. That's the kind of place it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. So we actually have Coach O'Ryan starting the duck chant, which this is great. It's absolutely great. It's a really awesome moment. And it's like, And we cut to Charlie again smiling, and everyone into it. All the ducks are into it because they finally get to do their chant they got yelled at for doing in the first egg game. So cool for them.
And then we get an audience slow clap, slow quack.
Which is great. It's great. It works. It absolutely works. It's the only time we're going to get this on movie. It's the only time. So we got to end the movie with it. It was the same thing in the second movie. It was the exact same thing that in the second movie.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to do it at least once. You know? It has to happen. But you know what the funny part is? Like, in the second movie, with the same conversation I had in the second movie. Why is it everybody joins in, even though nobody knows but the parents? Nobody really knows about this champ and the parents.
Because, like I said earlier, there isn't a crowd I've ever met that I can't get a quack chant going. Fair enough. People will quack when there's no reason at all to quack. I can get people to quack.
I feel like I should have tried that when I was walking and when I went to do the Devil's Games. And for those who don't remember this in the East Rutherford, New Jersey, you had to walk across what we always joked called the Tunnel of Love, because it was above ground tunnel. But because it was like a ridiculous parking fee to park in front of the arena, we park at Giant Stadium because it was free. It was free. So we park over there, and then we'd walk across as a group over to the game. But the coming back was always more fun, but it was after a game, and there's like, it's 15,000 people in this tunnel.
I guarantee you, if you start quacking in that crowd will quack.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, maybe that would be a great time to try that, but I didn't think about it at the time.
Yeah.
That's not a thing anymore. Obviously, that's not a thing anymore because the iDot Center is closed.
I mean, crowds aren't really a thing anymore, so.
Well, yeah, true. It's true. Yes, that's very true. Well, as we're recording this, people wondering where we're recording this, the crowd is like, we were starting to get crowds back. We are starting to get some crowds back, which is nice. But it's just not the same yet. So we get going here. We're starting this game off. And what's interesting about this, it is a rough start to this game. It's a rough start. Oh, my God. I do like out of Banksy, by the way, going to say, save the trash talk. Like, okay. Sure. That makes sense. Because they're not going to talk to you much. They're going to beat the crap out of you for the next, like, the rest of this game.
Or maybe he's seen one of their practices and he's like, yo, enough of that trash crap all over the ice.
True. Very, very, very true.
Enough of your trash hockey.
Oh, my God. So we get started here. And I have a problem with the commentary here. One shot on goal. We are 1 second into the game. We have a shot on Julie. And the play-by-play goes, says, at this rate, it's going to take a miracle for the Ducks to hang on. It's been one shot on one play.
The game is 1 second long.
I can understand this later on in the game. I completely get that mentality then. But,
well, these guys are screwed.
First shot of the game. Come on. I said this earlier, Goldberg as a defenseman is amazing. Like, Goldberg as a defenseman is great.
You would think. Center,
great defensive. So
Goldberg is the best.
Yes, I could argue that.
Sean White's like doing all right. Or Sean, is it Sean Weiss?
Ben West, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
He's doing all right now, isn't he? Like, he's doing
better than he was last season when we did this show.
He's in a real bad.
Last time I started updating picture, he looked better than he did a year ago. I was worried for his life last year when we did this show. This year it's like, okay, he's doing better.
That looked scary for a minute, man.
Yeah. So
you should get him on the show. That'll be a fun interview.
I've reached out and I never get back. A lot of people don't get back to me. I've reached out.
Well, Sean, if you're listening, get back. Come on.
Yes. The only people I've actually had on were Matt Dougherty and I had David Newman, the score composer from the first movie. I had him on. So that was a cool guy who was involved in West Side Story this year.
Nice.
So that was cool. But the funny part about that interview, I was actually going back to stuff. He actually is plugging West Side Story coming December 2020. Because that was 2018 when we filmed that episode.
I'm sure that worked out just fine.
Like, oops. So I love the fact that, by the way, we have the trash talk, but this actually conversation makes sense. Why did you come back? Unfinished business. Thank you, Charlie, for that line as we end our minutes. What does that even mean? And we will continue on with the game in the next 5 minutes with our next guest next week. So, all right. Adam, our question of the week always had is and has been all season. This is my favorite part of the show. I'm not going to lie. I've been looking forward to it. I love the question. Craziest or funniest high school stories? And actually, I'm actually curious because if you went to school like this, I'm really curious. Craziest or funniest high school story? Go for it.
Funniest high school story. So I guess it was my junior year of high school. They had added this whole arts building, and part of the arts building had when they were building the facility, they kept telling us they were soundproof practice rooms where, you know, any student could just go in and they had like amps around. You could just plug in and play guitars or whatever. So one day we were just, it was in between classes, and me and a couple friends just went in there and started playing Misfits songs and loud, like just like unforgivably loud.
Oh God.
And we were on like the third floor of this building, and someone came busting in going, "People on the first floor can't hear." I was like, "Well, I was told these were soundproof practice rooms."
Obviously not.
Nope.
That is really funny. Really
you could funny. Probably have, you probably could have heard us from like two blocks away. It was nasty.
Oopsie. That's a problem.
And we weren't good at all. Like these were not good covers of Misfit songs. And they were not good songs either.
You also figured you're in a soundproof room, so what does it matter?
Like, yeah, right? Like we thought no one can hear us. No one's gonna be able to hear this.
That actually reminds me of when I was in GTV, as I mentioned earlier. We were in GTV, and that was actually it was a class we took during study halls. Could be something to do during study hall. It wasn't a real class. It was just something you did during study hall. And we were doing my senior year. We got bored a lot my senior year. And we started doing like actual like presentations and like songs and dances and like game shows and all this random stuff my senior year. And we did the Gong Show.
Oh, nice.
We did the Gong Show. The problem with the Gong Show is when it's a good performance, we can't, you're not supposed to cut them off. But it's a good performance. And we had somebody, because it's supposed to be a 25-minute show, and only it'll go in almost 40 minutes into another period. We're doing the filming the thing. Because one of our best people that ended up winning the show was doing, what song was it? It was Ozzy Osbourne. What song was it now? I can't remember it. I hear it in my head and I can't think of it right now. But he was doing Ozzy Osbourne and he's playing and it was electric guitar. And it was fantastic. Except he was doing the full song and it went for 5.5 minutes.
That's
crazy. Great. Crazy trait. There it is. 5.5 minutes.
Aside from that, too, the high school I went to is really, really old school. Like it was established in the 1800s.
Oh, wonderful.
And as such, they had fraternities. Like it was,
oh wow, it's like a college.
Yeah, but like sort of. So we had these fraternities. I think I pledged one when I was a sophomore in high school, and it was just like a lot of rated PG fraternity antics, like pulling pranks and that kind of nonsense. So there was a lot of that stuff. Like it's a little unusual, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's what it is. Well, they had a prank war in this movie, so it works out nicely.
Yeah, you know? Like, well, that's the kind of thing that was like, that struck a chord with me. It's like, oh my God, it was just like where I went to school. Like, we did crap like that all the time.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I'm going to plug next week. We have Sean Gorman and Dave Palace coming on the show next week to continue on. We were trying to get them together last year, but it didn't happen. So this year they're back together. I'm excited for this episode. That'll be next week's show. So let's do plugs. Adam, I mentioned plugs. The top of the show, but tell them where they can find you.
You can find me in a couple of places. So I'm on two different podcasts on the Dueling Genre Network. I'm on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Minute, which is another Movies by Minute show that we've been doing forever. We just started recording episodes for season 3. We're going to actually do Turtles 3. So of Turtles 1 and 2 is already banked. You can go catch up on that stuff. I'm also on a weekly comics podcast called Tales from the Short Box, where we talk about the previous week's comics. It comes out every Wednesday. We try to, we're like kind of a recommendation heavy show. We do a lot of reviews of books we really liked. So it's not really a whole lot of negative reviews. It's just all the good stuff.
Gotcha. It sounds a lot like the show that used to be on Smodcast Network called I Sell Comics. That's what it sounds
there
like.
You go.
So let's throw that out.
Yeah. There. Well, two of our hosts are comic book retailers. So
Fair enough. Well, as for me, obviously, Defy the Mighty Ducks here every single Friday until we're done. The season's almost over, being the show is almost over, which I cannot believe after 3 years. The show is almost
that
over.
Is, that is exciting.
Yes, it's very exciting. But you can also hear me every single Friday right after you hear this show. Go over and look for the Blink of Sound show. I did it every single Friday for the wrestling talk and some entertainment, depending on what's going on that week. It's a weekly show. And we haven't missed a week. We have not missed a week in about 2 years now. So and we're really, really happy about that. So we do not miss weeks, even when we take vacations. We don't miss weeks. So that all being said, thank you.
Oh, I forgot to plug the social plugs. So go to at Dueling Genre, go to at TMNT Minute, go to at Last Week's Comics. Sorry about that.
All right, and we'll at Blake and Sound Show. There you go. I always forget to put that out there. I actually forget the social media stuff every week. So thank you, Adam, for coming on the show.
This was thanks for having me.
This was a lot of fun.
Really thanks cool. for giving me a reason to see this movie finally.
Oh, no problem. I'll have to get in touch with you for my next project in the end of the year, my next big project. I'll let you know. It's another hockey themed thing. I'll let you know.
Oh, nice.
So until then, I will see you all next week. And thank you all for listening and have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.